I have to admit, after working for 15 years in food media, there are some stories that I just hear over and over and over again, and some of which I have been guilty of churning out into the world myself. Sorry. You know, but like stuff like how this chef learned to cook at their grandmother's knee, or how this 1 week in the Italian countryside changed this chef's life, or most embarrassingly, what's in the chef's fridge at home? Don't bother. It's always a six-pack of beer and a bottle of ketchup, and guess what? No one actually cares. But something I realized I really do love talking with chefs about is what they make at home for the holidays. Because that's the one time when their families don't let them clock out, and because they're cooking for family, it's usually not about showing off. It's about the old traditions they keep and the new traditions they bring to the table. So this week, we have a bunch of great conversations and ideas about family holiday cooking and gifting, from pastry superstar Christina Tozzi's favorite four-ingredient cookie to the potato soup that chef Victor Albizu first tasted in the streets of Peru, to a chat with the journalist Liana Agajanian about a box of chocolate the whole world secretly loves. But first, Maddie Matheson. I don't know, Maddie might actually go down as the greatest Canadian in history, and I know there are a lot of great Canadians, but only he has hosted a show called Keep It Canada, where he climbed a literal mountain of potatoes and said that being called an honorary Calgarian made him feel like he was in Star Trek. He's a chef, a newly minted best-selling cookbook author, and just a good dude. Maddie Matheson.
Hello, Francis.
Oh, it's good to talk to you, my friend.
Oh, it's always nice to talk to you.
Congratulations to you on being a New York Times best-selling author.
Thank you very much.
You get to take that to the grave with you.
I know, it's unreal.
The world needs its bologna bowls.
Dude, it's wild. I made this beautiful cookbook and now everyone just gravitates right towards the bologna. I like put like an inside joke in this cookbook. And people love it. I don't know. It's a funny thing, you know? You can't control it.
It's your mother-in-law's bologna bowl. It is several slices of bologna with a piece of cheese and an egg and microwaved until it's a beautiful bowl. It's a complete breakfast.
It is a bowl. It's just, like, honest. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just, like, you know, a mother of five kids had to make a lot of quick breakfasts in the morning, and that was it. And then when I had it, I was like, what is this? And then, you know, the rest is history on the bologna bowl.
Yeah, you became the honorary sixth kid.
Yeah, I'm a New York Times bestseller with a friggin' bologna bowl. So well, anyone can do it, kids. It's that easy.
So I love this book. Congratulations to you. I love all stories about your family. And I want to talk to you today about holiday eating. Mm. Holiday eating, you know, let's face it, is basically just winter eating. And Canada pretty much invented winter. So as a Canadian, what are some things Americans should be eating this holiday season that we don't already?
See, it's tough because it's like we're like the bizarro mirror to America, right? Like it's just like we have this, almost like the same land. I think our land mass is bigger and we have, you know, only 30 million people and you guys have like 300. So it's just like it's kind of like the same. We have the same European, weird North American. We have turkey and you have like sweet potatoes and you have, you know, mashed potatoes and broccoli with like cheese sauce or if you're fancy, Mornay sauce. And, you know, do you put cranberries in your stuffing? Do you put water chestnuts in your stuffing? Do you put sausage in your stuffing? There's like so many weird kind of things, but like
it's the same controversies.
It's the same. Yeah. And it's like a funny thing. And I grew up, you know, I'm from the Maritimes and we had every Christmas Eve, we've had the same meal my entire life. I've never had something different. 36 years, I have had one dish and it's called a rape pie.
Yes.
And the rape pie is an Acadian dish that is even a lot of Acadians don't even make. Okay. It's a thing that is getting lost. And it's like you take potatoes, you peel them, you grate them, and you squeeze all of the moisture out of them. And then you kind of like vac pack them and freeze these blocks of potato starch pretty much.
Like you would do that at home.
Well, yeah, like back in the day, like my grandmother would like grate potatoes and squeeze them out in like almost like pillowcases.
Okay.
And then hang them up in the rafters in the barn. And then you would keep them And because once you get out of the moisture, they won't like ferment, right? And then you reconstitute it with hot chicken stock or like a fish stock. It depends on like whatever you had or like a rabbit stock. Like my grandmother, when she grew up eating rapie pie, she's an Acadian. And when she grew up, they would be like whatever we had. So like if you had mussels, if you had salt cod, if you had rabbit, if you had, you know, just like maybe some beef shin or if you had chicken. Or pigeon or duck, whatever it was. And our family, we always had chicken. And so you just make like a very gentle chicken stock. You boil like a whole chicken. You add literally like green onions. That's it. Salt. Not even a lot of salt. And then you take that boiling chicken stock and you reconstitute the potato.
Okay.
Almost like a polenta. So you stir and stir and stir and stir. And then you take all the chicken meat off. And you make it almost like soupy. It looks very soupy, this potato mass. And then you pour that into a like a baking tray, and you bake it. And it's almost like a solidified chicken pot pie, but with nothing in it except for chicken and potato. And that's like a Matheson family. Like that is like the only thing. And I kind of write about it in the book where I'm like, I'm very much just a very white, non-traditional Canadian family. You know, like we don't have a lot of traditions except for that one is our only like real food tradition. But besides that, we always had that on Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas Day, we always had goose and duck.
Okay.
Because we always thought like turkey was always kind of like every other kind of lesser kind of holiday. But for Christmas, we always had roasted duck, roasted goose. Even like last year, we smoked some ducks. Made a little glaze with some like cognac, some whiskey, some orange juice, and like some hoisin. Because I just used whatever my parents had. Now I like to do like non-traditional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, I just made like larb.
Oh, right on.
We just had like a giant larb feast, and which was like super funny. I was just like, why don't we do this? And my parents were like, okay, because they kind of trust me.
Let me tell you one thing I read in your book that I want to make for my holiday table. Hopefully this year. Your dad's lobster bisque.
Yeah.
It sounds bananas. Reading the recipe, it was like there were like plot twists in that recipe. Yeah. Like I'm like, whoa, where'd chicken stock come from? It's like caramelized vegetables. These are not things that go in a normal lobster bisque. Tell me about your dad's lobster bisque.
You know, it was a big day when he would do that. It was like a really kind of really special day because we didn't have a lot of money to buy the lobsters.
Mm-hmm.
And coming from the Maritimes and being kind of like landlocked in Ontario where we, you know, went to high school and like lived most of our lives out there. So it was just like a really nice day. And it was like the recipe is a big cooking recipe. So it was like an all day kind of thing for my dad.
Uh-huh.
And it was just one of those things where one of those things where you watch your parents or watch your father really enjoy doing something. And I think like that's something that I didn't write about too much in the book. And now I'm just thinking about it. But just watching your dad be very happy with himself is one of those true, honest cooking moments. And I think like that's kind of one of the nicest things where like dads always are just like, I'm on the grill. Or, you know, like usually have their like one or two moves like, that they pull out.
Yeah, it's like this is the thing.
And and my dad's a very, very good cook, actually. But the lobster bisque is something that he just took pride in, and it was like technique driven. And my dad's like an engineer, and he's definitely a very intelligent guy. He's one of those guys who just reads everything and retains it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt like kind of dumb around him. And so I think just like watching him make the lobster bisque growing up, and then going to cooking school, and then helping him, you know. And then now I can just like whip up that lobster bisque like way faster than him because he likes to he'll do it and it'll take forever. And I'm like, I can make this in, you know, a couple hours, no time. But he'll like wake up in the morning, you know, he's like, okay, I'm gonna wake up at like 6 and this is gonna take 12 hours to make a friggin' lobster bisque. And that's the cool thing about food and food memory and like how you always have these little pockets and things just drop. Like it's always like the sand sifting and you just open up a little crack and some different sand comes down, you know?
Sure.
And it's just like, I think like the one thing is about that lobster bisque. It's just seeing my dad be really happy with himself and being like really present and watching him, you know, a lot of dads work really hard and a lot of families work really hard. And he was always that guy. And so like for him to kind of just have that whole day to himself, making a creamy lobster soup is pretty funny, actually.
Yeah. But it's also beautiful. And that's...
It is.
You know.
It's okay to be beautiful. It's okay to be masculine. It's okay to be beautiful. And it's okay to be beautiful, vulnerable, and, you know, be a man.
Maddie, you're beautiful.
Oh, Francis. We're best friends.
Thank you for talking with us. Happy holidays,
Absolutely.
Brother.
Absolutely. Happy holidays to you. Ho, ho, ho.
Maddie Matheson is author of Maddie Matheson, a cookbook. He's got a recipe for his mother-in-law's bologna bowl. And as Maddie put it, if that can make him a New York Times best-selling author, anyone can do it. He also left us with a recipe for that wrappy pie. And if you want to live like a Canadian Maritimer this Christmas Eve, you'll find it at splendidtable.org.